Well, it's Christmas Day, and we'll read the Christmas story as given in Luke chapter 2, the first 20 verses. But our text this morning is from 2 Corinthians 9, and then especially also Galatians 4. But first let's read Luke 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus, that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away and from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9, Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, and he's referring to Jesus Christ. And in connection with that, let's read Galatians 4 now. Galatians 4, verse 4 to 7. And later with the sermon, you can keep your Bibles open to that passage, because this sermon really is just opening up that passage a little bit. Galatians 4, 4 to 7. Here we have God's word. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So the theme of the sermon is unwrapping God's unspeakable gift. It's Christmas Day, December 25, 2014. Whatever people all think of this day, as Christian Church, we gather for worship, especially to remember and celebrate that the Lord Jesus was born and came into this world. It's rather striking that of no other person in all of history will you find this annual concentration and repeated rejoicing in the fact of someone's birth. But with Jesus, it makes sense. Christians celebrate every detail of Jesus the Savior. And there's so much reason to magnify His worth just in Jesus coming to this earth, born in Bethlehem, more than 2,000 years ago now. In our culture, Christmas Day is the day of giving and opening of presents for many people. And even if you don't do this on Christmas Day, no doubt you too have given a gift to someone this past season, and probably you have received a gift as well. Children, you know, don't you, about unwrapping presents? Well, this morning, respectfully speaking, I invite you to unwrap with me the unspeakable gift of Christmas with Jesus' birth. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9, as I mentioned, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. And looking then at another passage of Paul in Galatians 4, which we read, let's unwrap that unspeakable gift with that text and stand in awe of and in endless appreciation and glad thankfulness for that gift of Jesus Christ. Holding baby Jesus in your arms, as it were, each one, let's look at the different details of Galatians 4 unfolding to us, unwrapping to us the beauty of Christ as the unspeakable gift of God. Why is Jesus so special? Notice, for one, He came in the fullness of time. When the fullness of time was come, Jesus was born, the text says. The fullness of time refers here to the exact best moment in all of history that God determined for Jesus' birth. Still today, all of history revolves around the fact of Jesus' coming. We divide history between the years B.C., before Christ, and the time after His coming, A.D., referring to the Latin phrase Anno Domini, meaning in English, in the year of the Lord, or our Lord. It took some centuries before this dating system was in place for world history, was established. But notice, whether people realize it or not, still today, Jesus' birth and coming is the central crux of all history. Wise people before Christ and His birth looked forward to His coming. And wise people since Jesus' birth keep looking back to His coming when born in Bethlehem. Well, we may never know exactly why it was the right time, the fullness of time, the perfect time when Jesus was born. Yet, we can tell many details that would suggest it was a very good time when Jesus was born. It was in the time when the Roman Empire was well established and there was the world, general world peace through the Romans. And there was an infrastructure that allowed for the swift passage of the gospel in Jesus' time and with the apostles afterwards. Also, death by crucifixion was especially a Roman practice for criminals, which was the very death designed for Jesus by the Lord in the place of sinners like us. Jesus had to die a death which was most pointedly showing He would be made a curse for us, that He might bring the blessing of God down to sinners like us in His grace. Well, Jesus came not just at any time, our text tells us, but at the exact time that God, triune, had planned from eternity. It was at the best time, the most effectual time, the most glorious time, the most vivid time for the ministry of the Savior, Jesus Christ. It was Jesus' due date, the day He was born in Bethlehem, designed by the Father from eternity even. I think we won't know till eternity why exactly God chose the time He did when Jesus was born. But the Scriptures tell us it was in the fullness of time that He came. But let's go on, for the text reads something else, so much more. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. Oh, here's another fact to stop at. Another fact to unwrap, as it were. Jesus is a baby who is most special. He was sent of God the Father from above. He came as God's only begotten Son. With Jesus' birth, in other words, dear congregation belonging to Christ, we celebrate God's infinite love in giving His own dear Son to save sinners in this fallen world. At Christmas time, we consider this, don't we, the greatest gift ever given. God willingly gave His own dear Son to serve as Savior, regardless what all what it would mean for his son. Imagine, so loving this world that rebelled against him. Oh, Christmas is really about this, isn't it? John 3:16, that verse which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Christmas is about the incarnation, about God in the person of his son coming down in the flesh. Our Emmanuel, God with us. You know, all other religions with their idol gods, they don't have a God like the most loving God of the Christian faith. No. Their gods are either plastic, gold-plated, lifeless, often ugly statues and trinkets, or else their gods are dead, unfeeling heroes of the past, or else just a single, uncaring, demanding despot of their own wicked imagination. But the Christian God is God triune. And a God who so cares for people like us living in this fallen world, cursed and pained under the bondage and condemnation of sin, that this God, he sends his only beloved Son, really to help us from out of our misery and plight as guilty, defiled, hopeless, helpless sinners in ourselves. You see, Jesus' birth is so very special indeed when you think of all this, when you unwrap these truths. Notice next, continuing to unwrap him in faith, God sent forth his son made of a woman. You could also translate born of a woman. Oh, this detail too is so rich, for it tells us Jesus, though God's own son, he now also became truly human. Born of a woman, like us in all things, sin excepted. This is the miracle, you see, of Jesus' birth, conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. This again is one of the greatest wonders in all the world. I mean, how Jesus in his one person is both totally God in every way and yet also truly man in every way. How can we understand this? Paul himself says, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." 1 Timothy 3:16. And Paul says in Romans 8:3, God sent his own son down to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh. That's amazing. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh, though he was without sin, always himself. Jesus is the seed of the woman. And this is really fulfillment of what God promised to Adam and Eve when they fell into sin. Genesis 3:15. Jesus is that promised Messiah, the second Adam, come to resist and overcome sin and evil in every way in which the first Adam failed. He came to succeed. He came to accomplish all that God calls for us and from us in our lives. All of the New Testament makes this so clear. Jesus is the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus came supremely fit or equipped for what he came for. So we read in Hebrews 2, for instance, verses 16 to 17. Verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him, it was his heart's desire to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Being sent as God's Son, being born of a woman, made Jesus the perfectly qualified, equipped Savior to serve as Savior of sinners here in this world. And notice this next detail that the text tells, that Jesus came exactly for this purpose as we unwrap this unspeakable gift. For Paul says further, he was made of a woman, made under the law. You can also translate, subjected under the law. What does that mean? Made under the law. Well, the law here refers to all God's commandments, his Ten Commandments, all his precepts, all God's will, also as to how we should live. It refers to God's law about how alone we can be acceptable in God's sight, only in the way of perfect righteousness and obedience to God. The law has to do with all God's perfect and just requirements upon us in our lives as His creatures, created in His image. Jesus was made under the law. That is, He who was Himself God and lawgiver, really, He now was born as a human being under God's law, placing Himself under that law. And all that God requires, shall anyone ever be saved? He placed Himself under all the rules and standards and justice that He Himself had set with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Jesus was subject under the law of salvation by works, that He might perfectly live that life that God requires from us and bring about and establish the covenant of grace for sinners like us. What was the reason for Jesus being made under the law? I just gave it partly, but I want to say, some people say, even the Queen said it today, and still respect what she says, but He came really to be a great example to us. And some view Him only as that, really, as a great example, a great model to follow. And He came to be an example, but He came for much more than that. No, listen, as we continue to unwrap this unspeakable gift, the next wonder of Christ, as we unwrap this unspeakable gift, is that, what does Paul say in our text? When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Do you hear that? To redeem. That means to deliver, to save, to buy freedom for sinners like us. Jesus came to accomplish what was necessary to save sinners like us under the law, to make a way out completely, freely, out from under the condemning power of God's just law and demands. We being under the law of ourselves, we all stand guilty and hopelessly defiled before God. You know that too, don't you? We are all lawbreakers, and even if we break the law once, we become lawbreakers and hopelessly lost and undone. No lawbreaker can ever stand in any way before God and live, for God is holy and He's just and righteous. But now behold the wonder of Jesus and His birth. He came as Himself, being under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. He came, in other words, as Almighty, gracious Savior, to pay all the punishment for sin that we deserve, and at the same time to live that perfect life, a sinless life on behalf of His people. This is why Jesus lived a sinless, holy, always exemplary life while here on earth, and yet suffered and died on the cross, numbered with the transgressors, as Isaiah puts it in Isaiah 53. Yes, as that same prophet foretold, the Messiah, when He would be born, He would be wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by His stripes, we are healed. Isaiah 53, verse 5. You see, this is the glory and the wonder of Jesus' birth so long ago now, when come as a baby in Bethlehem. Jesus came to redeem them that were under the law. That's you and me. He came to save sinners. And by His life, with the shedding of His blood, to purchase and obtain complete redemption by His once-for-all sacrifice for sinners like us. So also the angels told the shepherds, as we read in Luke 2, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Oh, what Jesus would and did suffer and being in bearing the just punishment for sin due to us cannot really be fathomed by us. But something of His sufferings and sorrows He would have to endure have become already evident just when He was born. I mean, just think of His lowly birth circumstances. Behold, Jesus, literally the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the Creator of the whole universe, God over all. And yet, when born into this world, there was no room for Him in the inn. And His first crib was a feeding trough for animals in a barn. And soon after His birth, you know, He had to flee to Egypt as a refugee because of jealous Herod, who wanted to kill him, fearing any rival to his throne. And that was just the beginning of his sufferings, wasn't it? On sinners' behalf. As Jesus, as the just for the unjust, would work to redeem sinners like us and accomplish redemption, rich and free. Jesus' suffering steadily increased from his birth, day by day, and more, all the time while he was here on earth. And it culminated, it climaxed, didn't it? With his death. Even his death on the cross. But it's so important that we see this not as failure or tragedy, but really as Jesus fulfilling exactly what he came for. He came to redeem them that were under the law. And it was by his blood and by his once for all sacrifice that he would do so. And now this is the gospel, as stated, for instance, in 1 John 1, verse 7. And it's a real gospel. It's really true. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Is that not most precious gospel tidings to you as well this Christmas morning? Even today, the Lord offers himself as Redeemer Savior, who comes to save sinners. He's Redeemer Savior for all who come to him, asking for his mercy and grace. Does that include you too now? Whether older or younger? The gospel extends as far as the curse to all who realize themselves being under the law and therefore terribly guilty and inescapably condemned on our own because of our sins and sinfulness. But the good news is Jesus has come to redeem them that were under the law. Oh, this is the great Christmas gospel tidings. He came to save sinners. No one needs now to remain under the guilt and bondage of sin. Not for the sins of last week, or the sins of the week before, or the sins of the whole year 2014. No, with Jesus and Him crucified, there is redemption. There's plenteous deliverance from all our sins. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. This is precious deliverance. For as many as repent and believe on Him, we may be redeemed. How endlessly grateful God's people are and may be for Jesus come to redeem them that were under the law. This is what we celebrate, don't we, with Jesus' birthday today. Are you rejoicing in Jesus and His birth in this way, each one here? What reasons to be so thankful for Jesus coming to this earth as we unwrap this unspeakable gift, going further with Paul's verses before us in Galatians 4. Notice this next wonder, what Paul says. Listen, it's just so grand and glorious. He came to redeem them that were under the law. And then hear what the apostle says further. That we might receive the adoption of sons. Do you hear that? The Christmas tidings declare, on the one hand, that all who reject the Lord Jesus and despise Him will remain in their sins and perish forever. But the focus of the message is all who trust and follow this Jesus as only Savior and Lord, to them will be not only given the blessing of being saved from their sins, but also of being adopted into the family of God. So we read, for instance, in John 1, John says about Jesus, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, from Jew and Gentile, to them gave He power, or the authority, the right, the privilege to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is another wonder then, you see, of Jesus' birth. Something so to marvel at concerning Him. Jesus, born in Bethlehem, was and is the Son of God by nature, in essence. But He willingly took the form of a servant so that we who are by nature servants of sin might become redeemed through His life, blood, and shed blood, and by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, be given to become and remain sons and daughters of God by adoption, for real, forever, in a most loving, lawful, unchanging way. Isn't that something tremendous? You know, around Christmas, many people are lonely. But true Christians don't have to be lonely. True Christians can still feel lonely. But when you think of the gospel, you don't have to be lonely. You may become, and you are, part of the family of God. You are one of His dear children. Think of this. As God's adopted children, with believing on Christ, we may call on God the Father as our Father who is in heaven. We may run to Him in all our needs, for body and soul, for this life and the life to come, calling out to Him once and again, Abba, Father. Paul goes on to say, even in this context, that the Lord gives His Spirit, doesn't He, to His children. He gives His Spirit. He says in verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Paul says the same in Romans 8. What a wonderful thing this is. We may be in God's family. We may have God as our Father. We may have the Son as our Savior. We may have the Spirit as our Comforter. We may be brought into the love bond of the Triune God Himself. He wants to share that with us. Jesus says in John 15, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Well, isn't this great? Being adopted in God's family. Think of that. There's no greater blessing than that ever possible. If we aren't adopted into God's family, we remain in Satan's camp. But the Apostle John writes about God's people, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God? And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him as He is. Wow! Isn't this tremendous? Do you hear and see how great this all is? God's unspeakable gift, unwrapping it. Oh, unwrapping the Christ child and all He is and all His worth as Savior of sinners. We can't begin to tell the unsearchable riches of God towards us in and through Him. And notice one more detail that Paul gives in verse 7 of Galatians 4. He mentions there also the point about how we are no longer servants to sin when we belong to Christ and we become sons and daughters of God. And he says, and if a son or if a daughter, then an heir of God through Christ. An heir of God. Can you believe that? An heir of all that God has for us, an heir of all that God promises. When believing in Jesus Christ and trusting and following Him as only Savior, Paul says in Romans 8 verse 7, we become heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That means everything that belongs to Christ becomes ours in and through Christ. By His mercy for Jesus' sake. Oh, to be saved by Jesus means to be delivered from the greatest misery and bondage and most terrible judgment deserved. And instead to be given freely and fully and surely the greatest blessing of being reconciled to God here on earth and being His adopted children and heirs of God and of eternal life in glory. Yes, Peter declares it, doesn't he, in 1 Peter 1, verse 4 to 5. We become heirs to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh, unwrapping the unspeakable gift, that gift of Christ as revealed in Jesus' birth when born in Bethlehem. Do you see with me? It gives every reason to say, wow. This is amazing. This gift, above every gift. You could call this sermon actually seven wonders of Jesus' birth, celebrating His endless worth. Just going through the verses, Galatians 4, 4 to 7. When you believe and receive this gift unspeakable from God, you never remain the same again. You then have real and everlasting hope and help in all your life. And you become and seek to become of real and constant help and hope to others as God gives you opportunity, pointing them to Christ, the same Christ in whom you find your all in all. There's no gift ever as precious and needed and free and wonderful as the gift of Jesus coming to this world. Come as Savior into your heart by grace through faith, by God's Word and Spirit. On the first Christmas, how many people there were who wouldn't pay attention to Jesus' birth. They didn't really see it as important. They didn't see it as absolutely necessary for their salvation. And the Gospels reflect they were left in their darkness and emptiness of their own ways. But as many as looked to this Christ and trusted Him, how blessed they were and forever would be. And you know what? It's still the same today. Jesus invites all to come to Him and to receive and enjoy and adore and serve Him as only Savior and Lord. He is the free gift of God that never disappoints and always gladdens the heart and proves endlessly reliable and resourceful in our every need. I had to think about it, how actually any present you buy here and any present you unwrap here on earth from this world, it loses its splendor so quickly, even as you unwrap it often. It becomes so old so quickly and depreciates. It loses its value. But not so with Jesus. He's an unspeakable gift who never loses His value and His riches and His preciousness for those who unwrap Him time and time again. In a sense, we can say, never are God's people done in unwrapping God's unspeakable gift and the marvels of grace and love and goodness and mercy and justice and peace and joy and salvation found in and through Him, discovering Christ and all His worth. Are you this Christmas unwrapping God's unspeakable gift? Let Galatians 4, verse 4 to 7 guide you in this, and you will never be disappointed unwrapping this gift, this unspeakable gift that God has given. Let's not be too busy unwrapping lesser gifts, and let's be involved in unwrapping God's unspeakable gift by faith and receiving it time and again for as long as we live. Thank the Lord for His unspeakable gift. Hallelujah. Amen.